Welcome to the Brian D. O'Leary Show. This is your home for serious content amidst an unserious world. All right, welcome back to the Brian D. O'Leary Show. That's me. You can find me at briandoleary.com. It's where you go. You sign up for my email list, and we get you a notice of all these fine shows that are coming your way and anything else we're up to. And so we got that. Today, what I got for you is an appearance I made about a month ago, a little over a month ago, I guess now, on This Is What We Crave podcast by my friend James Newcomb, and we'll link to that page on the show notes. And James was also a guest of ours on the O'Leary Review podcast, which we also might as well link to. And we talk in this episode, James was curious about my kind of career in sports broadcasting, or podcasting about sports anyway, and perhaps future, who knows, and kind of what I'm doing in podcasting. So we sat down for quite a while and chatted it up, and we got a nice episode out of it. And I just thanks James and for him having me on. And I will just direct you to you folks to jamesdnewcomb.com. That's Newcomb spelled N-E-W-C-O-M-B. And we'll have that link for you in the show notes. So, but just, James puts out a good podcast, and he's got some quite interesting people on there usually. Not necessarily myself, but more interesting people than me. So check that out if you like. And just enjoy this. It's a little more than a half hour. Sit down with James Newcomb. Thanks again.
So, Brian, tell me about your background in sports. I know it's extensive, and I know that that was like a big part of your public presence for a while.
I don't know if I'd say public presence, but it's the podcast I had. So from the very beginning, I was just a sports nut as a kid. Me and my brother and my cousins and my friends, and just we're playing ball all the time. Baseball is probably the loved football and basketball. Portland Trailblazers, I'm from Portland, Oregon, so the Portland Trailblazers were a huge part of the culture back then. Like, literally, they were like part of Portland's fabric. And so all that, I just couldn't get enough. One of my uncles back then, he had gotten drafted in the first round of the NHL draft.
Really?
So of course, we were big hockey fans in the family. I've never learned how to skate.
Which team?
He was drafted by the St. Louis Blues. Okay. Yeah, he didn't really work out for the family ultimately, but his brother is a very successful coach of the New Jersey Devils.
Really?
Yeah, my cousins keep in contact with their dad's side of the family there. But anyway, I don't know if you want to keep that in the show. That's a little
nothing objectionable about it.
But anyway, yeah, so I'm a sports guy. I play baseball, soccer, basketball, dropped soccer because I don't really like it. Played football. I'm just a big fan and a big fisher, angler, whatever you want to call it. And it's an outdoor type of sport, but not team sports, not athletics necessarily. But again, like, that was a huge part of my life for over 10 years, probably. And then I got into, just by kind of dumb luck almost, got into coaching baseball, which I'd always wanted to do, but I'm noticing the similarities between getting into coaching and getting into podcasting is I don't know how to do it. You need like a You need to be a teacher, I'm pretty sure. And my friend who was coaching, he'd been coaching for a few years and he wasn't a teacher. And he ultimately got the job as the JV baseball coach. And he hadn't played ball. He hadn't played baseball since we were 11. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, we're in our 30s at this point, probably. Yeah, right, but he's a big fan, right? And so he knows I'm got a big background in baseball. I didn't play in college, but had I gone to a different place, I certainly could have. And I played in the summers in college leagues and did pretty well in those. And it's just, it didn't work out. I was often injured. And anyway, so back into coaching, and I really loved it. And I helped him coach that year, get his just normal baseball stuff on a team that you wouldn't know from watching TV, essentially.
Got it.
And then I took control of another school's baseball program. I was the head coach for a year. That was a total nightmare at the end. I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I liked a lot of the kids. But we were the youngest team in the state by age, if you just averaged out the age.
And this is all in Oregon, right?
This is all in Portland, Oregon. And then I took a year off, essentially. And then I got back into coaching for another 4 or 5 years at a different school. And we really liked that too. But anyway, all in the same amount of time, I'm just huge baseball fan, huge college football fan. Me and my friends several times have rented RVs and gone to 3 or 4 or 5 bowl games in a season.
What do you think is the appeal of sports to you? Because it's such a big part of your life. Why is it so important to you?
I've been thinking about that lately, actually, and I don't exactly know. It's just what I've grown up with, and I particularly enjoy the competition side of it, where you don't get that really. At least I don't.
Okay.
In real life, people can hack the algorithm as they want to do, or I don't even know if it's an algorithm to hack, but they take the competition part that they learned in sports growing up and then they apply it to their business life and try and beat down the other guy. I just want to leave. Like, I'm really competitive on the field, and now I don't want to necessarily beat somebody when I don't know what the game I'm playing.
Yeah.
I don't know. The athletic part of it, the fact that I spent all my life in it, for whatever reason, I just was attracted to baseball and football and basketball just very early in my life and just played all of them a ton. Baseball, it was hard to play year round, certainly in Oregon.
Yeah.
But you go out and play catch, find gyms to work out at or stuff like that. And then football is, if anybody has a football, there's a game caught on the playground during recess or whatever. We always had games, football or basketball, always. And it was hardly like I ever played anything else for years. And I don't know. It's just, and it was part of the huge part of the culture. I don't think it's a huge part of the culture anymore. I think that it's there. And it's probably bigger than ever and makes more money than ever, but I don't think it's as big of a part of the culture.
Are you referring to the culture of Portland?
No, or just the United States in general.
Wait a minute. You're saying that sports is not as big of a part of the culture as it was 10, 20 years ago?
Maybe it's my own bias. I think there's a lot more of it and they make a lot more money. I just don't think it's the importance of it is, and maybe I attached artificial importance to what sports meant to me, but I don't know.
I think a big part of
it. I also think about baseball in particular. I watched the World Baseball Classic last night, and
it was great.
Oh yeah, great game. And it was supposed to be the biggest game ever. I forgot it was on. I turned it on in like the third inning or fourth inning, and it's going to be the biggest. Certainly, like almost every citizen in Japan is watching it, but they don't. It's not important here. In America. But anyway, I don't know. I kind of went on a bit.
For me, I was a big fan when I was a kid and I grew up in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
So I was cheering for Kirby Puckett and Kent Herbeck and all those guys back in the day. And they won the World Series in 87 and 91.
And one of those years, the AAA Farm Club was Portland. So we saw a lot of, we actually didn't see a ton of the guys. We saw a lot of the veterans that had come down.
Oh, really?
And then had a role. But okay. Kirby Puckett certainly never played, and they weren't the farm team then. But a lot of these guys, they skipped, if they were from the organization, they would skip directly from AA up to the big leagues. Okay. And anyway, you grew up in Minnesota.
But a big part of it was when you're a kid, there are certain things that are important to you, and then when you grow up you just leave certain things from your childhood in your childhood. Say I'm a man now.
I tried doing that and
right being a man
leaving all sports, like abandoning sports, doesn't mean anything. Like, well, I need my life, and
But there's just, you can't quit cold turkey. But like, I'm 46 now, and I can sit, I can watch a game, and I don't, it doesn't, there's nothing wrong with it, but I could care less who wins, even if it's one of the Minnesota teams. I have no emotional connection to any of the people playing on those. And when you grow up, you just realize these are just big corporations trying to make a buck. They're trying to stay relevant, trying to stay alive, and a crazy growing culture and media, basically in the same boat as I am, just trying to make a living. But when I was a kid, these guys were, they were like gods to me.
Heroes. And part, a lot of it had to do with baseball cards, basketball cards, football cards that I collect. That was my, what I did for fun. I mean, particularly like board games or stuff. So I've learned about all these guys, and they're right in front of me.
Yeah. And another thing was, when I was a kid in the 80s, 90s, sports had its place. And it was recreation. It was something that you did to blow off some steam. You go to a game and just enjoy a game.
Perhaps that's what I, my point earlier about how it doesn't have as much meaning. I think it had a place, I guess, but, as opposed to meaning, a specific place like you're talking about. That makes more sense to me.
Yeah, but you watch the evening news, and then there's a five-minute segment, if that, for sports.
And hardly ever on the national news, maybe in the local, but
That's what I'm talking about, the local news. Okay. The local news has a 3-4 minute segment on sports, and they show a couple of highlights from the Twins game.
Right.
And then you just get on with life. Okay, the Twins are doing their thing.
And then 10 minutes on weather.
10 minutes on weather, but they had their place. And then when the season is done, you don't think about baseball for 6 months. Now it's like the NFL or this American
all
football
year.
They're bringing in this XFL. You just can't get away from it.
No.
You need a break from this stuff.
I think you probably do. And I think that that's the beauty, or was the beauty anyway, of having specific seasons for specific sports. And so you can train. Like, I think it was, it's best if you train for, or cross train to some degree for all the sports. You can't just let your, all your skills go fallow. But on the other hand, your focus is with your basketball team, not your football team or your baseball team. And it's this weird thing, and I noticed it in high school sports in particular lately. Unfortunately, it didn't really happen as far as I was consciously aware when I was in high school. But now, like, it's all these different coaches trying to compete with the other coaches to get the player to do their thing. It's like high school sports. Let the kid do what he wants to do. Have all these things scheduled if you want, but it's your problem as a coach to get the players there and establish the commitment level. And if they don't want to follow the commitment protocol, then they probably shouldn't be playing or go to a different school. And that should be the expectation, not the fact that, you're probably not going to play a whole lot because you didn't attend this padless scrimmage practice in June. Or what? Come on.
It makes me ask, what really defines success? If you're the best in the world at hitting a round ball with a round bat squarely, great. And you make a lot of money doing it, but what does it really make you as a human being?
Yeah, it makes you good at baseball.
Yeah.
And
but what else?
Makes you a lot of money these days. And you saw it last night as we're recording this. It came down to Shohei Ohtani versus Mike Trout, both of the California Angels, and neither of, and their team stinks. And these two guys are the pinnacle of the game.
Yeah.
The best pitcher,
best
hitter.
Best of the best on the worst.
The best of the best.
The worst team.
And it came down to these two for the final out of the game, and Ohtani struck out Mike Trout. Like, the best beat the best. Japan, the team Japan, Samurai Japan, whatever you want to call them, they win the world title. I think it's a hokey world title because I believe that baseball championships should be played in series, not individual games, but that's a whole nother topic. Now, Samurai Japan is the world champion, but Mike Trout is still Mike Trout, probably the best ball player. And now you can put Ohtani up there, but they're on the same team. And what's it get them? It gets them $40-50 million a year, but no championships. I personally the way I played sports, coached sports, it's not that it was championship or bust, but I didn't really, I personally would have had a good season unless my team won the championship. And I was just a part of that and do whatever I can to help. But I don't know. Nowadays, it's like you play and you train. They train all the time. They hardly ever play on a team. And I'm talking about high school and all these training, whether it's baseball, basketball, football. It's all like these training programs to just get games in to get your skill level up. Doesn't necessarily help winning. Now there's only going to be a few people that really go on to do well. But I think it's all about championships. And at least the hunt for championships. And granted, you can only one team can win a championship in any given division every year, and some divisions don't even have them. But you go out and try to win every ball game, and you try to win the last one, really. And that was the motivation for me. I really love to see that motivation when I'm in sports. So it's like you're talking about all this stuff, you can't get away from it. I enjoy the game of football quite a bit. And I occasionally turn on the XFL or the USFL, but I don't like it nearly as much as I want to like it, because it's just, like you said, you can't get away from it.
Yeah, sometimes you need to get away from it. Give your brain.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder or something like that.
And now everything is just money. And that loses the competitive and the purity of the sports.
Purity really went out of it altogether in like 2020. And that's when I started.
And you were doing some podcasts or some sort of media on sports, and you
we started doing a weekly podcast in the height of Corona. Yep. And I think it was May or June of 2020. And I had this idea to start a podcast, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And we've talked about it offline several times, and also with other folks about what do you do? How do you start it? How do you get the idea? Like the basic stuff. Right. And I just never started. And I'm just going to stop right here and say, for anybody doing any project with any creativity, if you're worried about it, stop worrying about it and just start doing it. We'll figure all the rest of it out later just do it. So finally I got it where I started, and I started with my friend Tim. It was really good. And I think people probably enjoyed him actually probably more than me. But anyway, we started doing it weekly. And because neither of us knew anything about podcasting, I listened to a bunch of podcasts. He'd never listened to a single podcast until the first episode he produced that went out. He produced a podcast without ever having
listened to one.
Yeah, I don't listen to podcasts. But he was great. And we had a good show, a weekly show, up until around Christmas time. And then it just got too much. Like, I had no idea. Like, in certain ways it was because it was taking up too much of our time and certainly his time. And like, had I known what I know now, it'd been a different story, but I really wanted to do a show with Tim. I thought Tim was like gonna help the show. It wasn't like I'm trying to create this brand for myself. I wanted to create this show that people would like, and we got a lot of great feedback, particularly from a lot of our friends. And like he just couldn't do it anymore. And it was taking way too much time. And so I tried doing it, and I did it. I got a few other co-hosts on with me, and then I did a couple shows by myself, but I didn't come to the realization really.
Which realization?
That I can do this on my own. I can just talk into the microphone.
Yes, you can.
I don't need a podcast or a partner and or to be on and to interview someone to have a show.
Exactly.
I can have a show on or anything. And then I'm like, so getting back to your original point is like why I stopped or whatever. It's like I have to come up with a topic to talk about on sports every week. I didn't even talk about getting to the everyday part of it. But every week, talking about something about sports by myself, and they're like, I'm just mad at the whole thing. And I don't think people want to hear me just be mad at things.
What were you mad at?
Oh, the whole response to COVID primarily and how they destroyed normalcy in life. And I firmly believe especially the NCAA basketball tournament and baseball and golf, immediately canceled all their stuff, and NBA basketball too. Like,
NFL teams playing in empty stadiums outdoors.
Well, at least they played a real schedule. I'll give college football and pro football credit that they actually played more or less a legitimate
I think the Big Ten played like six games or something.
They played, five. I was thinking about that the other day, but the Big Ten is the major outlier in this, and the ACC and the SEC were like, we're going to play. We're going to have to change some things around, but we're going to play. It was like stupid to watch games in an empty stadium.
It was ridiculous.
And I was like, we had the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants here where I live, and Tim, who was a co-host with me, he's a huge Oakland A's fan. And so I was like, all right, we'll buy one of those like fake cutouts A's game. It was like $40 or something like that. And we put it up. I never saw it. I don't know if you could have picked it up like in the middle of winter at one point. I was like, yeah, screw you people. Like I was trying to get on board with that just so we could get our sports back up and going. I didn't realize like the devious nature of the whole thing that some force in the society wanted to shut it down entirely. They wanted to get rid of sport, wanted to get rid of anything that was good and pure.
Wait, what are you talking about? Some force in society wants to get rid of sports? What are you talking about?
I don't know. I don't know what it was. I don't know. I don't think it's like a conspiracy by any means. I think people are just too dumb to carry something like that out. But I don't know. I don't know why. I still am confused on the motivations behind wanting to shut everything down, because it certainly wasn't. And maybe the motivation was fear, ultimately. I don't know. I have a hard time really believing that. But if that's the reality, I'll...
Oh, that's what I believe. That's what I believe. I believe that the reaction to COVID will go down as the biggest overreaction in the history of mankind.
Yeah.
And there can't possibly be a close second. And I am speaking from the perspective of someone who was traveling internationally.
Okay.
Splitting time between Virginia and Vietnam. Right. I was traveling from the United States, getting on planes. I should do a whole podcast episode of just stories of traveling between Virginia and Vietnam.
I heard one of yours where
some of the things that I endured were just
and
that's all it was. It was fear, uncertainty. People didn't know. It was peddled as we were led to believe that unless drastic action is taken immediately, there's going to be piles of bodies on the streets. And that was the fear that was peddled by the media and by the government.
Yeah, and I think the very before even these lockdowns, or maybe even before some of these basketball games got canceled, when I saw this coming, something had gotten canceled at that point, and it was probably one of these basketball games that really started the dominoes falling, which is, getting back to the whole sports thing. But I think it was a text thread to a bunch of friends, or could have been a tweet I wrote out. I don't remember exactly, but I said, it's a totalitarian's wet dream.
Yeah.
And boom, guess what happened? All the totalitarians really showed up in force.
But I think they canceled the entire men's basketball tournament.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In 20. Oh, crazy.
They canceled everything. They canceled the ends of.
They basically canceled humanity.
Yeah, they did.
For about a year.
And then we're not even going to talk about this, I don't think, but whatever. It's on the tip of our brain. So,
why not?
And it totally relates to sports is the thing. And so what happens is we're sitting there and people told me, it was like, I know you don't really believe in this type of stuff, but the 15 days to stop, we got to stop the curve or flatten the curve or whatever. And I'm like, come on. Like, you really believe? But it was like, twisted on me or put upon me, because people know me that I think a lot of most of the stuff they say is BS to begin with. Like, it comes from like, I'm a huge skeptic of the global warming climate change agenda. And that's really what it is. And it's an agenda. And whether it's humans have anything to do with it, that's a whole nother issue, but it's an agenda. But anyway, so this whole thing, it's like, I know you don't believe in it, or I know you don't believe in this type of stuff, but this is true this time. It's true this time. And I'm like, Oh, come on, people. Let's just wake up. It's not. And then if you say it's not true, it's, oh, my friend died. Or I know somebody's wife whose friend died. I'm like, that's independent of the whole thing being a bunch of load of crap.
It doesn't justify shutting down the world. No.
Yeah. So anyway, started the whole podcast in the midst of all that stuff where there was literally no games going on. Literally, there was a cornhole championship that was live on ESPN, I think. And then I think I talked about it with some fellow podcasters about this, where we recorded our first show, but we didn't actually record it. We didn't know that, but we were so rookie at podcasting that we were unclear on how exactly to record the audio. We thought it was recorded. We thought we both, anyway, didn't happen. So it was a rough draft. And then our first show was about, came out after the cornhole. We didn't talk about that. And then we talked about, it was the match, the golf thing with Peyton Manning, Tom Brady,
oh yeah, that
Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods. It was in the, I think it was in the rain and in Florida. And, but they were playing and like they had this facade of like being
all
separate, separate golf carts with these big plastic sheetings. And as soon as you're outside, like, I understand it. Like, I get it that if you don't want to shake hands or hug each other, you might be afraid of that. Fine. Don't do that. But the rest of the thing, let's just go on as normal. But there was like no crowd. There were very few cameras, a lot of remote operated cameras. And then you finally realize that Major League Baseball is going to start up eventually. And we did a show on this. Okay. And this was crazy to me. And people didn't understand how crazy it was, I don't think. And I started laughing at it. It's like all the rules that they were going to have, that you couldn't high five. That was a rule.
Crazy.
You couldn't high five.
Insane.
You couldn't have contact with like another human being. You couldn't spit in the dugout. Baseball's all about spitting, other than the sports part of it. Like, it's about adjusting your cup and spitting sunflower seeds or tobacco juice all over the place. That's part of the deal.
I remember the managers would come out to argue a call and they're wearing face masks.
Yeah.
And the umpires are wearing face masks. They're screaming.
Yeah. It's so dumb.
It's just to think about this stuff in hindsight, it's just.
But people actually really followed a lot of these directions, and they eventually got wise to how stupid it was. But the first few weeks, guys were going to, after the game, if the teams win, they have the high five line. No, these guys were doing the low foot tap line. I'm like, oh gosh, you people have lost it. And that's like kind of what lost it for me.
Yeah.
Honestly, James, that type of stuff. And then when I see pro football or college football, these guys are sweaty and they're tackling each other in piles.
Right.
And I'm like, what? And there's nobody allowed in the stadium. And none of these teams, I went to Boston College. I'm a huge Boston College football fan, but the team, nobody on the team got sick this entire time from like June to December, but they were literally isolated on campus. I don't know how they did it exactly. They were in their own dorm because shut down. I don't even know I can't remember the whole timeline, but it got to the point they could have gone to a bowl game and it would have been the first bowl game in a while, but they're like, nobody's going to show up. We haven't seen our families, literally seen our families. Some of the coaches had seen their families because they go back and forth and they're adults, but the kids had not seen their families since June. And they might have seen him like on FaceTime or whatever. That's not worth it.
It's not worth it to play a game. It's not worth it
to play a game. Yeah.
For free. And
for free, essentially. And then
you get your scholarship, but that doesn't count.
Scholarship. And now there's this NIL stuff, which is ruined sports to a degree that they didn't see forthcoming. Because I'm of the opinion that, you do something well, you should be compensated for it no matter what. And why should there be limits? The limits are in place because it's their own system. You don't have to play college football. The problem is it's the only game in town. You can't even really go to the XFL, or there's no minor leagues that you can go in hockey or baseball and even basketball now. You can't even do that with football. So you pretty much, if you want to continue playing football, you got to play in college. And so there's all this name, image, and likeness. And now you have all this, the guys are getting paid $1 million a year to do commercials and stuff. And they're like, but it can't have the school name attached to any of this stuff you're doing. People know now, like if you're making that big money. But then there's another kid playing like doing on the rowing team or whatever, he doesn't even get a scholarship. He doesn't get any of this other money, and he's struggling to get by.
Yeah.
And granted, rowing is like a, I just gave that as an example, but it's one of these sports that you typically probably got to come from a family with money. But what if you don't? What if you don't?
Okay.
You're screwed, and this guy is making $1 million playing college football, and he might not even play. He might get beat out by the next guy, but he was a star coming out of high school or something. It's just, it's got perverse incentives, and it's screwing it up even more. I still like watching the games, but I don't know if you can tell from my attitude. It's like
it's a bit tainted.
It's tainted. It was never pure. I started writing a book on it at one point, and I think it's just changed the my thesis changed where I wanted to go. But I have all this research still sitting there. I might reconstitute it for something. I'm not entirely sure, but the game was never pure. It goes back to a point where. And I can't remember. It was one of the first college football stars played for Yale in the turn of the century. I think I want to say like around 1904 or something. And he was like some 25-year-old guy. There's no pro football back then. He was playing college football. And back when Yale was the big one of the big college football powers. And so he got room in the university club on campus. And he got all his meals paid for. He got a cut of the cigar sales at the baseball games in the springtime. And I think he got a cut of the gate of the football. And it was soon after this that this legend of Theodore Roosevelt fixing college football. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's basically if you dive into it, it's a bunch of BS. Or it's not a bunch of BS. The things changed drastically. And dramatically is what we're going to call that when they do that. But Theodore Roosevelt had this half-assed summit in the White House, 1905, December, I believe it was. And the game was just rough.
Okay.
And kids were dying, but they weren't dying from like head injuries like you'd think, like cramp, banging into people and their skulls breaking and their brains bleeding out. No, it was like all this because it was called a mass formation game. So it was three or four downs to get 5 yards back then and no forward passing. So essentially that meeting was designed so that the guys were dying because of internal injuries. Cause in these piles, guys are punching them and the internal bleeding, guys would die like a week later.
Okay.
From, and so the forward pass was legalized finally. They used it, but like Chuck Klosterman in one of his books, there was no rule against it. There's no rule of having an invisible flanker. But yeah. So anyway, the game changed. I don't even know where I was going with that, but the fact that the game wasn't pure, it never has been pure. And they change the rules all the time, but it's like you get stuck with more or less the same rules for a while and you enjoy that game. Now, pro baseball today, or this season, they have probably the most amount of rule changes they've had probably since 1880 or whatever in a given. Yeah. And it's going to adversely affect the game for people like me. Some people like it, whatever. Those people aren't, I'm not necessarily impugning your fandom or whatever. If you don't like what I like, but baseball is a game without a clock and they're putting all these measures in with the clock. And that's a big thing. To want the game to go faster. I'm a huge fan of baseball at a quick pace, but if it doesn't fit your 2.5-hour timeline for television, I don't care. That's just the nature of the game. The NFL football does a great job at that. And we're not NFL football in baseball because there's only a certain amount of games or windows of games you can have in NFL football. College football does a terrible job. They're talking about changing their rules to tighten up their window of time that they're allotted. And it's essentially a TV thing.
Right.
But it's like, why are we bowing down to these people who are, they're half-assed fans at best of the game? I relate this to soccer, which I talked about earlier. I don't really care for it. I'm neutral on the game. I actually like the game. And one of my friends played in the MLS for 10 years. And so we're always rooted for him. But the whole soccer culture is ridiculous. And especially here in America. But the thing is, if I were to want to watch soccer more, I would want to change a bunch of rules. I would want the timing rules. I would not have the ref have the clock on the field. I would eliminate offsides. I would probably allow, to some degree, a little more use of the hands, even though that's the nature of soccer, but the goalie can use his hand. Anyway, there'd be a host of changes I would want, but guess what? Soccer does not want me. And that's fine. I'll go watch Gaelic football instead, which is a way better game. Cool. But anyway.
Brian O'Leary claims that he can't think of any topics to talk about for a sports podcast, but and I've been writing things down, and I've counted 9 separate topics that you could use for a podcast.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Oh, if I wanted to reboot it. Well, here's the thing with my podcast now is that I finally broke out of the paradigm that I'm a sportscaster only. I'll talk about sports all day long with whoever wants to talk about it. I'll love, thanks, James, for inviting me.
Sure.
Promoting or facilitating this. But I also will talk about pretty much anything else that's on my mind. And I don't want to be pigeonholed to do, oh, sports podcast is coming out today and whatever else, politics is tomorrow.
Why I branched out from just talking about music. There's more to me than music.
And you talk about music on your show.
Of course.
Because
it's a big part of who I am.
Of course.
But it's not all that I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I think that's where I am with sports. Thanks to you and several other folks who are either fans or podcasters that helped me realize that. And ultimately, I had to do it on my own. I had to realize it on my own. But all this community is very helpful.
All right. We can find Brian at briandoleary.com. He's got a great show, and he talks about sports and any number of things that are near and dear to his heart. What are you releasing this week? Just give us a sneak preview.
This week, I had a show on Monday. I already forgot what it was about. Oh, I talked a little bit about The Mandalorian and a quote I heard over the weekend, tied those together. Yesterday, I normally get shows out every day, but I was busy all day and ultimately couldn't get anything out. But I decided that I was on another fellow's podcast a few weeks ago, and it was about 2 hours. So I'm going to release those in pieces if I'm not available to answer the bell any given day. So I'm probably going to do that. I have that planned for today. Who knows? I might got my juices flowing this morning, James. But anyway, I got that. I probably will want to talk about the World Baseball Classic and then the beginning of baseball season. And then who knows? I'm on my toes every day around here trying to figure out topics, whether the whole banking system's going to collapse. This whole Trump nonsense. Once again, he's rearing his head again. Oh man. The treasure trove of stuff to talk about. And
there's
usually
I
figure it out by mid-afternoon and have a little outline and then go. But every day is different. Choose your own adventure, man.
All right. We've talked about sports and that branched out into all kinds of different things, but that's the way it is with life.
And that's the way it is with sports. I said in a podcast last week, and that's one of the lenses I see my life through is sports. Whether it's, I guess that's a thing to take away is that I use sports to kind of look at things in a certain way.
Yeah. Maybe we should do another
you
one
use
of these.
Music. You use music big time.
Yeah. No? You and I should do another one of these and just talk about how sports either affects culture or reflects culture.
Oh, I'd be happy to happy to dive into it. I'm not exactly sure of those answers right now.
Neither am I. And I think it's worth exploring and discussing. Yeah.
Beach Drive, the newest album from our friend Nick Peets, is available to stream on your favorite platform. Check out the Sultan of Rose City Swing as he belts out quality rock and roll. The 9 tracks from the Sultan will simply make your day better when you listen. Support the Rose City's best rock and roll as you take the Beach Drive with Nick Peets on your speakers. Get Beach Drive where all good music is sold or streamed.